Luke chapter 6, and we left off in verse 24. But what I want to do is I want to go ahead and let's start in verse 20. Let's just kind of pick up because we see a drastic change, a heavy change of what Jesus is saying here in 24 and then what he said in the verses prior to that. So look at verse 20. He says, "Then he lifted up his eyes towards his disciples and he said, 'Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner, their fathers did to the prophets.'" And then he goes into 24 and he says, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So you see this drastic difference here. Last week we looked on how we should be, the Beatitudes. I like to say, you know, they're called the Beatitudes, but I like to say Beatitudes, right? This is the type of attitude we should have. If you want to be blessed, because that's what the word means, blessed means, oh, how happy. Are you happy? If you are happy, you know it, clap your hand. Clap your hands. I said clap your hand. So that's just one hand, okay? Yeah, okay, I should have made it plural, clap your hands. So again, from going to, oh, how happy, or oh, how blessed, to now, how we shouldn't be, right? Jesus said, now this is where you shouldn't be. And here Jesus is warning us about the judgment that will come to those who, what, follow after materialism, and not after the Lord, to those who are not rich towards God, but they're looking to their riches as their means of security, their means of comfort, peace, their means of being right before God through their own righteousness, through their own hands, through their own works. And we know that it's not our works that are going to get us into heaven, right? I don't think anybody can do enough works to get into heaven. And if you think you can, then you're going to have to go up against one person who did, and that is Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross, and he, look at all that he suffered. Now, if you can suffer that much and some, then that should get you in heaven. But I'll tell you what, if they came to you and they put you on the post and they came up with the cat of nine tails, you know, that whip with bone and metal on it, the leather straps, and if I saw that coming to me, I would have confessed right there before they even whipped me. Oh, yeah, I did. Whatever it is, I did it. You know, I couldn't take one. He did 39, and he did not open his mouth. Now, can you, or maybe your beard ripped out of your face and spit upon, slapped, beaten, mocked, cursed at. I mean, if you can suffer all that, then you deserve to go to heaven. But nobody can do enough works to get into heaven. Nobody. But there are people who think that by their own means, they can be right before God through their own righteousness. And here, Jesus, he gives us three woes here in these three verses. Now, the word woe here, this woe, it's an expression of regret. It's an expression of grief. And I got to say this, guys, and you're probably going to agree with me, because when you put anything before your relationship with the Lord, that's what's going to follow, right? Regret and grief. Am I right? You put anything before your walk with God, before your love with God, before your first love, I guarantee you what's going to follow is regret and grief. Exactly. And like today, we see this happening today. Many back then through thought that that their happiness was going to come through having great possessions. Now, we see that happening today. And I'll never forget Han Solo. Han Solo said this. Harrison Ford, that's his name. I keep forgetting his name. I call him Han Solo because that's how I remember. Harrison Ford said this, that he has many material things. He has great riches, but he is the most miserable man around. The most people think that you can find your happiness through great possessions or even having a great position in life and enjoying the pleasures of the popularity that money can bring. I mean, you have money, people just seem to follow you everywhere. I notice that. You have a lot of things, people will come knocking at your door. And I always just think, you know, if I hit the lotto, which is in the millions, right? If I hit the lotto, you know, everybody's going to find out. I told Garvey, if we hit the lotto, we pack your bags. We got to get out of here. Because I guarantee my phone is gonna ring off the hook. Everybody is going to, but I don't really care. Because I'm going to give God 90% of it, and I'm just going to keep 10%. Because that's more than enough, right? I'm not going to be the guy who says, yeah, Lord, if you let me win the lotto, I'll give you 10%. You know, and I'll keep 90%. I'm going to do the opposite. You know, so anyways, again, people thought they can find pleasure in that, in the popularity that money can buy. And so now we see Jesus here teaching that, you know, happiness in life is not found in materialism. And I think what they needed the most to hear, and we need to hear today, is, you know, it's not so much, not that you need change in your circumstances or your status, but you need a change in your relationship to God and your view of life. And I'm not saying you can't be rich, you know. You can be rich, but you can be a Christian. You know, you can change in your relationship with God, and he can be number one. God uses rich people. I know people who are rich, and God uses them tremendously, and they keep giving, and God keeps giving back to them. Amen. It's like, yes. And besides, we want to be rich in faith anyways. And, you know, and I think we should do what we can to help others materially, guys. We should. In fact, James chapter 2, verse 15, James through 17, he said this, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? And thus also faith by itself, it does not have, if it doesn't have works, is dead. I mean, if you see someone has a need and you have the ability in your hand to help them and you say, hey, oh, I see you're hungry. You look like you're very hungry. Well, be warm and be filled. Let me pray for you that God will buy you something, provide, and then walk away. What good is it? What good is it? In fact, and that's what Proverbs says, that if you have the ability to help someone and you don't, it's sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth. So we should help those in need when the time arises. But there's something very important that we need to remember, and that is there is no amount of riches or material things that can substitute for a personal relationship with God. Nothing. Don't ever put anything before your personal relationship with God. So, again, we see this strong warning here to the rich. So the question is, who are the rich? Anybody rich here this morning? I mean, in material things? No? We need some rich people. Come on, man. You know, we need to get some rich people in here so they can tithe, you know? No. We are rich in faith. That's what we are. No. Again, who are the rich? Well, they are the ones who, what, have an abundance of wealth, abundance of material things. But, guys, realistically, when you compare yourself to the standards of a large majority of the world, in comparison, you are rich. You are rich. And if you want to find out how rich you really are, then I want to encourage you to come down with us when we go build a house for a family in Mexico. You come down. And I guarantee you, you'll come back and you will see how rich you are. I know our first missions trip was to the Ukraine. And there was seven of us. This is the very first trip I ever took as a missionary. Had no clue what to expect. Didn't even know what to do. And we were kind of adopted by these 30 guys who were, they were called thugs. They're not gang members, they're thugs. And they came up and they started to follow. Every morning they came and they greeted us every morning. And they would take us out and they say, we're going to show you, have a good time. And they would take us to the park. They would take us to areas where we can have fun. But it costs money. And what they would do is they would just kind of walk ahead of us and they would go in and the guy would be looking at us like this. We would have to pay. And finally I said, you know what, we can't keep doing this because our money's running out. So we had to tell them, hey, we got to stop doing this. And the reason why is because they thought we were rich. They believed that if you are from the USA, you are rich. In the show, and they based this on that show, 90210. I think that's the one. Do you remember that the group of high school students? They're filthy rich. But they thought we were rich. But in comparison to them, we were rich. We are. We are blessed. We are blessed. So again, we see this strong warning by Jesus to the rich. And he says, and he tells us why. You know, you got to ask the question, why are the rich warned? Well, I'm asking you why. Okay. And you need to keep this in mind, because I think also not only is he talking to those who have an abundance of material things and wealth, but, you know, I think it also the rich can fall on those who has anything. If you have anything and you're not being a good steward with the things that the Lord blessed you with, and you don't use those things to meet the needs of your own family, or you don't help others, or you don't even honor the Lord in your offering, then this warning is for you as well. But Jesus here, he's warning those who have a lot, who are wealthy, they have a lot of worldly goods, and they love them, and that's what they seek after, and they find their comfort in them. They find their security. They don't seek after the word of God. They don't seek after a relationship with the Lord like they do after their riches. Watch out. Don't allow what you have pull you away from your relationship with the Lord, from the things of God, from the kingdom of heaven. Don't allow them. Even if you have a little bit, don't allow it to pull you away from that personal relationship with the Lord. And if you are, then you need to change. If you're going to follow after him, change the way you think, change the way you act, change the things that you rely on the most. And if you have a lot, guys, don't think, I don't think Jesus wants you to give it up, what you do have, unless he specifically tells you. If you hear Jesus say, hey, I want you to get rid of it all, then obviously you got to be obedient. But what Jesus is woeing about, I like to see Jesus woes, we whine. There's a difference, right? I like to, Jesus, what is Jesus woeing about, right? He's woeing about that he wants us to give up those things that rule over our life. Whatever is ruling over your life and the things that you put your trust in, the things that would keep you from following after Jesus. So in other words, make him the center of your life. So whatever's keeping you from following him, you get rid of it. This is his point. This is what he's saying. And he says that the judgment of the rich is their wealth on earth. Now the word here, receive, look at verse 24 where he says the word receive there. It means a receipt in full. In other words, their only consolation, which the word consolation means their only help, their only aid, their only encouragement is to be on this earth and be in the wealth that they do have. That's it. They can't take it with them, right? They can't take it with them when they leave this life. Now, there's a saying, you heard it many times. It says that you'll never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer, right? Well, and not yet. Today, you're going to see it. Watch that. Put it up there, man. Let's see if it's up there. See? Right? Yeah. You'll never see that going to a service, funeral service. I mean, they probably live in that car, right? Andy sent that to me, and I always heard that expression. You'll never see a Hertz pulling a U-Haul truck. But in fact, there is one out there somewhere. Isn't that funny? So again, Jesus is saying that their only consolation, their only comfort after this life, they ain't going to have no hope. They will have no aid, no encouragement. They will be paid in full here on earth. And what they choose in this life, that's going to be the only good that they're going to receive in life. Can you imagine? I mean, who wants that? We're called to store up treasures in heaven. That's what we're called to do. Store up treasures in heaven where rust and moth and thieves can't destroy. But it'll be a whole different story when they die and what they experience in eternity. Look what he says in verse 24. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation or your comfort. And woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. And woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Now, Jesus warns those who are full. Well, full of what? Right? Full of all that the world has to offer. That's what he's talking about. And the question here this morning for you guys is, what are you full of? And I'm not saying that in a negative way, okay? Because Jesus is asking, what are you, when it comes from Jesus, then you better listen. What are you full of this morning? Jesus is talking to those who are full of themselves, full of their own desires, their own urges, their own fleshly appetites. They're the ones that they're full of the opposite of those who hunger for righteousness that he talked about in verse 21. Remember he said, blessed are those who hunger for after righteousness. They no longer have a hunger for righteousness. And the scriptures clearly identifies them and shows us who these people are. In Luke chapter 15, verse 6, and you can look at it later, write it down. It tells us that they fill their bellies with the husks of the world. In other words, they do all they can to satisfy themselves with worldly comforts, with vain and fruitless endeavors. I know people like that. Romans chapter 16, verse 18. It says that they serve their own bellies and not the Lord Jesus Christ. They seek after their own lusts to serve after their own private interests and not the Lord. In other words, they are on the throne. Their interests are around the throne and Christ is on the outside. When Jesus said he should be on the throne, others should be around them, him, and then you should be on the outside. And yet they seek after their own lust to serve their own private interests. 1 Corinthians 6:13, and you can look at that starting in verse 9. It tells us that they indulged in the meats of the world. We're talking the things of the world. We're talking about the sins of the world. This is what they seek after. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 through 32. Listen to what it said. Paul said, these are the ones who are filled with all unrighteousness, such as fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliceness, full of envy, murder, full of debate, deceit, full of their whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boastfuls. Yeah, they boast a lot. They're inventors of evil things. They're disobedient to parents, without understanding. They're covenant breakers and without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. You believe that? Do you believe this? It's in the Bible. But do you believe this? It says, not only do the same, but also those who have pleasure in them that do them. Whoa, be careful. You might not say, I'm not doing that, but you're having pleasure in it. You're just as guilty as they. And the judgment of those who are full, look at verse 25. What is the judgment going to be for those who are full of this? It says, for you shall hunger. This means that they shall leave all that they're filled with them behind when they die. They can't take it with them like that hearse. They can't take it with them. In Luke chapter 12, verse 19, listen to what Jesus said. He says, and I will say to my soul, he's talking about those who have a lot and are seeking their comfort in the things of material things. He says, I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I used to actually say that in my early days. And it wasn't like I didn't understand really what I was saying, actually. But I used to say, yeah, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. You know, and I didn't know that it was something negative here in the Bible because I really didn't look at the Bible. But he says, you're going to say your soul, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And so it is who lay up treasures for himself. This is not rich towards God. Too many people are living like that. Hey, just go out and have a great time. Have a good time. Go out and eat, drink, and be merry. Drink, eat, and be merry. Let's go out because, you know, we don't have much time left. And then in Luke chapter 16, verse 25, you know the story of the rich man and the poor man, how they died together and they both went to hell. And Lazarus was being comforted in Abraham's bosom here, and the rich man was in hell. They were all in hell, but there was this gulf that divided them. And Abraham, and the rich man looked up to Abraham and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over so he can dip his fingers and cool my tongue. And obviously Abraham, he said he couldn't do that. But Abraham said to him, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your goods, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. So again, these who are going to hunger, they ain't going to have anything to fill their desires after this life. They ain't going to have no delights. They're not going to be fulfilled throughout eternity. They're going to hunger for good, for righteousness, for the good things throughout eternity, but they won't be filled. It's like when I think of that, I think of those who don't believe in God now. Then they die and they stand before God and they say, now I believe you, God. I see you. I know. Now I know you're real. Can I have you now? And God is going to say, no, I never knew you. Depart from me. They're going to seek righteousness. They're going to seek the things of God, but they won't be filled. Look at verse 25. Then he goes on, the third woe. He says, and woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. I think this is a kind of a very heavy warning that Jesus is giving to those who laugh now. Now, I love laughing, okay? And the Bible does say laughter is like medicine to the soul. But the laugh that Jesus is talking about here, to laugh now, it could refer to those who might not have any sense of sin. They have no sorrow. They have no conviction. They have no regrets over the evil that's happening in their lives. They have no brokenness or acceptance of what Jesus did for them on the cross for their sin. And their joy and their satisfaction is only found in the carnality of their flesh. That's it. The laughing now are those who are laughing it up in the world. You know, you hear that expression, hey, laugh it up in the world. Laugh it up in the world with all its comforts and pleasures, their stimulations and the fast times that they're having, and the joy of indulging and entertaining of their flesh. This is what they're laughing about. Laughing now can refer to those Also, this is, I was thinking about this, and I saw this, and I thought, wow, this caught my mind here. Laughing now could also refer to those who pay no attention to the reality of what's going on in this world. The suffering that comes from the evil that's all around us. You guys see it? It's everywhere. The weight that the world is going through, the unrest, the uncertainty, the lawlessness, the greed and the selfishness, the sin and death that's happening around the world around us, and what are the believers doing today? They're just hiding behind closed doors. They're staying away. Whether it's physically, but more importantly, spiritually, and that's what we got to look at, is that spiritually people are dying and going to hell. And what are we doing about it? What can we do about it in a time such as this? And they're finding their joy in denying and in ignoring the truth that's all around us. Well, the warning, the judgment to those who laugh right now, look what he says here. He says, it's mourning and it's weeping. It's sobbing. And in the word there, mourning and weeping, in the Greek, it's talking about crying out loud. It's not going to be, weeping and mourning out loud. Now, when we went to China, we used to go to one of our trips. We went to Tianjin. And one night we got to our hotel real late. And it was, somewhere 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And we heard all this yelling and weeping and noise. I mean, it was loud. I was like, what's going on? So we went over, we looked, and down in the courtyard in the alley, all these people, and they were crying out, I mean, loud. And this is late at night, and people were looking out their windows and everything. So I asked one of the sisters, what's going on here? And she said, you know, those are professional mourners. They actually pay them when somebody dies. They pay them to mourn and to cry out real loud so everybody can honor the person who died. No difference, because they did that in Jesus' time as well. Professional mourners. I don't know how much they get paid for that. I probably can. It might be a good job. Okay, you need a professional mourner, call me. You know? But this is how they're going to mourn and weep. Why? Because they deny the reality of this lost world and that's dying in sin and death and evil, and they refuse to lift a finger to help those who are needy and suffering and weeping. Therefore, they're going to be left alone in the next world to mourn and to weep over this great loss. Man, I don't want to be that person that just gets in. I don't want to be the person who Jesus said, you're barely getting in, get in, or dragged in. I want to hear, enter the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. I used to think, you know what, as long as I get in, I don't care. And that's like me in school. As long as I get a D, I don't care. When I was in school, if I saw a D, boom, that's it. I did, I'm done. I got a D, I'm going to pass, so that's good enough for me. And the Lord says, you know what, told me when I became a Christian, in my walk with God, you don't want a D, you want to get an A, you want to excel in your relationship in the Lord. In fact, I want you to be the valedictorian in your walk with God. Don't be satisfied with a D. Don't be satisfied with just barely making it in. God doesn't want that. James chapter 4, verse 8. You know it well, verse through 10. James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep over your condition. And let your laughter turn into mourning and your joy to gloom. And if you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he will what? Amen. Lift you up. Once you realize your true condition, you know what? He's going to lift you up. So in verse 26, he says, another woe here. He says, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophet. Now, you think that'd be a great thing? I want people to speak good of me, you know? But the warning here, Jesus, he's giving a heavy warning. He's talking about those who are prideful and those who compromise, those who are opposite of what Jesus said about in verses 22 and 23. Listen to what he said. We read it last week. He said, blessed are you when men hate you. Blessed are you when men hate you. Oh, how happy when men hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil. Instead of here, men calling, speaking of your name about being good. And this is for the Son of Man's sake. He said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Look at verse 26. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. I mean, you want people to speak well of you, or do you want people to speak evil of your name because of Jesus' sake?
The latter.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the opposite from those who are being persecuted for Christ's sake. Listen, you know what? The worldly speaks well of those who live worldly. Of those who live as they live, speak as they speak, those who compromise, those who desire their company and their approval, and who never point out the truth about sin and death, about judgment, about hell to them. And remember, you who hang around with them, you are who you hang around with. You hang around with the world, you'll be like the world. You hang around with God, you'll be like God. You hang around with the Word of God, you will be conformed, transformed by the Word of God. And I want you to notice also what he says in verse 26. Look at verse 26 at the bottom. He says, and for so did their fathers to the false prophets. He said that the false prophets were those who what? Who the world spoke well of. And this was their only reward. This is it. This is the only reward you're going to get. It's called a that-a-boy award. If you're looking for man's approval, then that's all you're going to get is that-a-boy, that-a-boy. That's it. It's not going to be a lot. And this is all they received in this world. Because why? Because they coveted worldly recognition and honor. Therefore, they received it. But guys, listen. We are not to be like false prophets. You're not a false prophet. And you shouldn't be going around slapping men on the back and acknowledging them and compromising with their worldliness. And if you do, the world will speak well of you. But then you're going to lose that reward that's going to come from Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 18. Jesus said this, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me first before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. So it's a good thing when I'm hated. When people hate me, I'm like, thank you, Lord, they hate me because of Jesus. Now, if they hate me because of my own way of life or how my attitude, how I treat people, then I got to take it. That's what Peter said. If you're being persecuted for what you did, then be a man and take it. But if you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, then blessed are you. And so if I'm bringing my own hatred of people, causing people to hate me because how I treat them, then I deserve it. But as Christians, you know what, guys? We have to stand up and tell the truth to all we can. We got to stand up. We got to share on how people need the Savior Jesus Christ, and that their eternal faith depends upon them coming to Him for salvation. And seeking His righteousness for this right standing before God. And we need to be part of that. We need to be ambassadors for Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Listen to what He said. And Jesus came and He spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the age of the earth. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Jesus is with us. He says, go and make disciples. Go and share with them. I used to think that I didn't have that calling. I remember one of our pastors He used to say, hey, why don't you come out and share witness with us? Come on, we go out every Tuesday. Come on. That's not my calling, brother. That's not my calling. I kept telling him, that's not my calling. And finally, he bugged me enough to that. I said, okay, I'll go. And I went, and man, it's been my calling ever since. Everybody here has that calling. You want to know why?
Why?
Because when you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, Jesus said, go now. Go now and make disciples. He didn't say, okay, you accept Jesus Christ. Okay, now go about your daily life and do what you're doing. When you accepted Jesus Christ, he said, go now, tell others what I have done for you. We see that in scriptures, those who Jesus healed. In fact, some of the people who said, he said, don't go because it's not time yet. Don't go say anything. But they couldn't contain it. They went and told everybody. You can't contain it. You got to share it. You got to tell what the Lord did for you. I can't contain it. I got to share it with everybody. Mark chapter 16. Mark said this. He said unto them, Jesus said, go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned. I know everybody here knows somebody who's going to hell, right? Well, what do you do about it? What can we do about it? Pray and ask the Lord to give you wisdom, to give you discernment, to give you a divine appointment to share with that person, or pray that God will send servants to that person. I can't visit my niece who's on life support and brain damage. I can't visit her. They won't let me. In fact, when they say, hey, can her pastor come in? Which I'm her uncle, and they said, no, he can't come in until a life and death time comes, when she's taking her last breath. And I'm thinking, wow, that's the world, when we should be there way before that. She was bitter about the Lord. She had bitterness towards God. And I'm praying, Lord, please send servants. But the beauty of this whole thing is that we're blessed because my daughter-in-law is the x-ray technician. She's at Kaiser, so she's able to go down there. And she went, the day we found out she was there, she went down there. And Julie, she went down there and she prayed for her and she talked to her about the Lord. So we do have, inside a person inside. But we need to pray. Pray that the Lord show you how to reach these people, because they're dying and they're going to hell. Luke chapter 14, 23. Jesus said, then the master said to his servant, go out into the highways and to the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. How many people are you inviting to church? You guys got to get creative here. If they want to come, you got to find a creative way to bring them in. I mean, I was asked to go to church many times and I wouldn't go. And then I can't remember what Carmen said. Hey, if you come to church, I'll up your allowance. All right. Sounds good. You know, be creative. Say, hey, you know, I want to take you out to breakfast. Come on in. I'm going to take you to church. Or, you know, I want you to come see this fat guy in a little coat. Do something, but invite them. God wants them to come into his house. He wants his house to be filled. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. And he said to him, it is not for you when they say, remember when the disciples, hey, when are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said, it's not time for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But he says, but you guys are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How many of you have received the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? How many of you have received the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life? He says, and when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be what? You shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So you got the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. What are you going to do with it? Do you just use it to be satisfied with your laughter? You know, with your being saved? I'm covered, so I don't have to worry about it. I'm covered, so I don't want to stir things up. No, he says, you got the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit has come upon you so that you can be a witness of me, so you can share about Jesus Christ, share about what he's done for you and the salvation he's given to you. And this morning, you know what? The Lord's going to give you an opportunity to be that type of believer. One who's going to stand up. One who's going to stand in the gap for those who are receiving a woe from Jesus. Woe unto you. Maybe you are feeling that woe right now. I felt it many times. Woe. You know, here Jesus. Whoa, whoa, better watch out. Back off, dude. You know, don't touch that. Don't look that way. Don't do that. Well, maybe you're feeling a woe from the Lord right now. Maybe you have been putting your trust in someone else, or maybe in something else other than your relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to read from Psalms 115 what David said. Listen to what David said. He said in Psalms 115, he said, "Why should the Gentiles say, 'So where is their God?' But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their God are idols of silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have noses, but they don't smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. They have feet, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throats. And those who make them are like them, and so is everyone else who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. O North Park, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of North Park, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us, and he will bless us, and he will bless the house of North Park of Israel. And he will bless the house of Aaron. And he will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. And may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. And may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth." Isn't that beautiful? Well, maybe you become the very thing that you've been trusting in. Maybe it has taken the place of your relationship, of your first love. Who is your first love? Jesus is your first love. Well, maybe something has taken that place, and now he became your second love. If you're feeling that God is, if you're feeling like God's saying, Jesus saying, "Whoa," you know what? He's trying to get your attention. He's trying to show you something. And as I'm going to have the worship team come up. And if you feel like maybe you have done that, maybe you have trusted in something else, and maybe Jesus has, you have put Jesus off the pedestal of your life, off the throne of your life, and you have made him your second love, and something else is your first love. And you need to come up, and you need to just cry out to God. You don't need anybody with you. Just come up yourself, and the altar's here. I'll anoint you with oil, and God hears your prayers, and you need to just cry out to the Lord and say, "God, you know what? Be my shield. Be my help. Let me trust in you. Let me fear you, Lord. And whatever's taking the place of you, Lord, remove it from me." And if God has spoken to you this morning, you need to do that. Just come up. Come up, and I'll anoint you and pray. Pray and leave it at the altar, because God wants to increase you more and more of him. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your household. He wants to bless your children. He wants to be the blessing because why? He made heaven and earth. So if you feel God speaking to you, come up. I want everybody to stand here. And as we worship the Lord, you know, just make it personal. Just you and the Lord. You and the Lord, and you know, and I'll anoint you with oil, and you pray. This worship.